right, 7 o'clock by my chronometer. Calling the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Calling the Tri-City Club TipsNet for this Wednesday evening, May 15th, 2019. Your net control this evening is Kevin. My call is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf, KA6PDG. I'm located in Norwich, Connecticut. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet meets every week, every Wednesday at 7 p.m. local time. And we do so for the purpose of providing a venue in which amateurs, new and experienced amateurs, can ask questions and exchange information about topics related to amateur radio, be they technical questions or other topics. Also for the purpose of practicing good amateur radio procedure and operating techniques, and for good fellowship through amateur radio, and all hams properly licensed, of course, are welcome to participate in the net. Whether you have something to say or not, anybody who'd like to check in is welcome. The net takes part, the net takes place in three parts. The first part, I like to call the topic portion or topical portion of the net, where stations have an opportunity to ask questions about something related to amateur radio or bring up a subject of discussion. The second part of the net is for the sharing of announcements and bulletins of general interest to the amateur community, typically regarding upcoming events or things of that nature. And the third part of the net is the swap section, where if you have amateur radio gear that you're looking for, or want to trade or buy or sell or give away, that's the place to list it. When checking into the net, we ask that you use the following procedure. If you would key your mic and say, "This is," and then unkey, as I did right there, to check and ensure that you haven't inadvertently doubled with another station or they haven't doubled with you. And then give your call sign. If you can do so slowly and phonetically, it really helps the net control. And if you'd like to give your name and location, that's always helpful. And then list any question that you might have about an amateur radio-related topic or something that you'd like to bring up for discussion. And we'll go through each station individually and see if anybody has comments, thoughts, answers to questions that have been asked, so on and so forth. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Again, your net control is Kilo Alpha 6 Papa Delta Golf, KA6PDG. And my name is Kevin. So I think we're about ready to get started now that we've taken care of the housekeeping. I'm going to mention one thing before we start the roll call, and that is that as we think about things we might want to bring up tonight, 1 year ago, exactly to the minute, I and my next-door neighbors were standing around talking to a bunch of firemen, waiting for the Norwich building inspector to show up and let us know if we could continue to occupy the apartment house we live in. This because there were severe storms on May 15th of 2018, and one of them brought down a tree in the backyard, which landed on the back of the house about 3 feet from where I'm sitting right now. So it gave me pause to think that maybe if folks wanted, we could talk a little bit about weather and weather as it relates to amateur radio. Many times when we talk about ham radio and weather, we think of things like Skywarn and weather nets, which are a little different, similar but different. We think about emergencies, disasters, hurricanes, health and welfare, traffic, traffic nets. But there's also other things we can talk about, like how to prepare your antennas, and do you have a backup if an antenna gets brought down by bad weather or by a tree coming down, for example? How does weather affect radio propagation? Does rain affect the grounding of your antenna system? Does snow affect radio propagation? And if so, on what bands? All sorts of things we might get into if folks want to talk about that, and if not, we're open to all topics related to amateur radio. Don't feel like you have to discuss that if there's something else on your mind tonight. All right, Tri-City Tips now. Let's roll up our sleeves and get into it. I'm now going to call for check-ins. Again, give your call sign slowly and indicate your name and location if you want. And any questions or topics on your mind that you'd like to bring up. I'll stand by for check-ins. This is KA6PDG and the TipsNet.
Delta Charlie Tango, Dave and Preston, no questions but a comment.
Here is Kilo 1, Romeo, Mike, November, Bob in Montville, no questions.
Here is Kilo 0, Juliet, Echo, Bravo, Josh and Groton. No questions at this time.
Risk. Kilo 1, Echo, Victor, Bill, Mystic. No comments or questions.
This is Kilo Charlie 1, Kilo Lima Zulu, John in East Lyme. No questions.
Here is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo, Eastern Point Beach, City of Groton. Two small comments.
That's a rather nice call up for this evening. One of the better ones, I think. That acknowledges NK1V, also K1DCT with a comment, K1RMN. Bob, good evening. K0JEB, K1EV. Bill, great to hear you. KC1KLZ and KC1TWR with a couple of miniature comments. Any other stations wishing to check in on the TipsNet come at this time? Alrighty. Why don't we go through the list? I think I'll take them in order. It also occurs to me to mention, I know that over the last week or so, there's been some QRM issues on this particular repeater. Maybe that's been corrected. If there is any difficulty in copying that control, though, just let me know. So far, I'm copying all the stations on the net quite nicely. So let's go in order. I think that's acceptable. Starting out with Steve up in Coventry. Anything going on up there in the beautiful town of Coventry, Steve?
NK1V. It's not really what's going on here today. It's what's not going on here today, which is at least this afternoon. Nice afternoon. Which actually, as you talk about propagation and such, and don't seem to have. Just real quick, snow does seem to matter. Does actually seem to affect even my HF because I just have dipoles and stuff. But one thing I immediately noticed as the leaves are popping out like crazy, is my VHF reception in mobile and base changes drastically. It reduces, doesn't seem to affect HF much at all, but definitely on VHF, I switch on most of my vehicles, I switch to a, like a quarter wave antenna now, and that does seem to help a little bit. And I don't know, that's interesting. I'm sure there'll be more interesting things than that, but that's what I got for the first round. Back to that, NK1B.
Thanks, Steve. No, those are worthy comments as always. And one of the reasons I threw the thing in there about does snow affect propagation is because I've heard it argued both ways, but I kind of think it does, at least on HF. It seems to me after we get a nice thick snow covering that it almost seems like the signals are crisper and louder. I don't know. I haven't done a scientific study on it. Maybe somebody has. Somebody like Dave would be probably the kind of amateur that would do a scientific study on the snow and propagation. But I don't know whether he's done that or not. I do have a C next to his call sign, which stands for a comment. Dave, you had something on your mind to share, so go right ahead. K1DCT, KA6PDG, and the tips net.
All right, well, good evening, Kevin. This is K1DCT. Good evening to all those on the net. No, I have not yet done a study about snow and propagation, but maybe I could apply for a grant, which is free money, and then come up with a paper and, you know, just take the money and run. Sounds like a plan. Well, my comment is just something I've thought humorous, that when you were explaining or going through the preamble, and mentioned about the three parts of the net, and the first part being the topic, and then you called it the topical portion. So I'm wondering, does that mean we need to apply this portion liberally to our skin before sitting down at the radio cave? Just curious. Back to net, K1DCT.
Well, that also is a worthy thought, maybe, sort of, kind of, yeah, have to think about that word topical. I usually take this net intravenously. I find that it gets into my system a lot quicker, and I'm into pain. No, not really. All right, Dave, thank you. Yeah, well, you go ahead and start your paperwork on the grant there, and we'll be getting back to you in a few minutes to see what might come up here as we go through the lists and see what people have to say or bring up or whatever. There's always something that inspires one to think and ask questions and so forth on this net. Okay, Bob, K1RMN, nice to hear you this evening. I didn't know if you were still going to be in town this evening. I understand you're headed off to the Dayton Hamvention, which is another thing we could talk about. Go ahead, Bob, your turn.
K6PDG, this is K1RMN. Good evening to everybody. Yes, I am heading off tomorrow morning with Bill, K1EV, who's also here tonight. We'll make our way out there sometime later tomorrow. But back to the first question that was going on, and that was the snow and rain. I work a lot with surface radar on ships, and it certainly affects that, so I can imagine it would have a similar effect on radio waves, depending on how heavy or how light the snow or the rain is. Don't have any facts on that, just have experience with a similar situation. So I will just let that one settle and send it back to net control. This is K1RMN.
Very well. And I wonder how many, if we have any other stations who've ever been to the Dayton Hamvention. I never have. I think about it every year. And I remember when I worked for a radio station that took a lot of its programming from satellite back in the days when such things were sort of novel. Now it's quite common for commercial broadcast stations to take programming from off the satellite, but one of the things we would often learn about is how the raindrops, because of the size of the raindrops, I guess, as I understand it, could affect propagation on those very high UHF frequencies. Anyway, and that's about the extent of my knowledge on the subject. But here's a guy who likes to experiment and explore things, and maybe he knows a little bit more. K0JEB, thanks for being on the net with us tonight, Josh. What you got to say?
KA6PVG, this is K0JB. Good evening, Kevin. Good evening, everybody on the net. I wouldn't say I have a lot of knowledge. I can share with you stuff about what I've tried that has gone horribly wrong. As far as the experience with possible snow interference, snow's essentially frozen water, and I don't know if anybody's ever had a satellite dish and have a heavy rainstorm come in and lose your satellite reception. I can only imagine that the that snowfall would during snowfall would create a interference issue with the signals coming and going. As far as having a crisper signal with snow on the ground after a snowstorm, I could see that too. Better reflection to get the signal out there. I don't see that it would help get the signal further. It would probably be more of an NVIS thing, but that's about all I have on this round. So I'll hand it back to you, Kevin. K6PVG, this is K0JB.
All right, Josh, thank you. Well, remember, particularly where amateur radio is concerned, very often things have to go horribly wrong before they go right. And that's just the way it works. Yeah, and when that snow piles up on the satellite dish and you have to go up on the roof and wipe it off before the boss calls on the phone and says, what happened to all those commercials you were supposed to play? Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But it is interesting. And the other thing, of course, is that rain can tend to kind of clear off any dust or debris or whatever it seems like from connectors and solenoids and stuff like that. I know out in Oregon we had a terrible problem with the noise from transformers because there was a lot of fog, and it was salty fog on the coast of Oregon. But when it rained, it would usually clean things up a bit. All right, waiting patiently for Mystic, and we will have another call up here in a few minutes for the tips net if you've just joined us. This is KA6PDG. Let's go to Bill, K1EV, who's also packing his overnight bag to go to Dayton. How you doing, Bill?
K6PDG, K1EV, and good evening, Kevin. Good evening to the rest of the net. And yep, the bags are packed, and the car is loaded. It's sitting low on the springs. I hope we can make it out without losing a tire. A change of tire on this trip is going to be very difficult, seeing as how the back end of the wagon is really loaded. At any rate, looking forward to it. This will be my fourth trip out there, and always have a lot of fun. And as far as weather affecting the antennas, I think the only issue, propagation, the only issues I've had have been when it snows more than, 3 or 4 inches, my ground-mounted vertical feed point is exposed. And snow covering it puts it out of commission. So I fashioned a cover over the lower portion. Didn't get to test it out last winter. There wasn't enough snow to begin with, so I'm waiting patiently to see if it does indeed protect it. And I've also lost the center insulator on a dipole up high in the air when I tried to put a few hundred watts through a wet open connection, unprotected connection, and had it turn to carbon on me. So that's been my experience with weather and antennas. Basically, other than the comments that Bob made and Josh about the propagation, or Steve, I think, at VHF, UHF, those have been mine, the unprotected feed points. Other than that, it's nice to be here for a change instead of out of town, so good to make the net. Back to you, Kevin. This is K1EV.
All right, thanks very much, Bill. And your fourth trip to Dayton. Well, later on when we get back to you, if you feel like sharing any comments, I'm kind of curious how, if it's changed over the years, gotten bigger, smaller, what you like about Dayton, what you don't like about Dayton. I would think it's a lot of fun to run into all those different ham radio operators from all over the place and maybe even catch up with some folks that you know. And I've heard people say there's a lot to buy, bring your money, bring your wallet, but you might not find the best prices, but you might find the best equipment. So I don't know. Be curious what your experience has been. Not to spoil it for Bob. I know you want to keep some secrets so that he can be surprised when he gets there. But we'll see. I'm sure we'll have a little time later in the net to get back to you. Probably go through another round of comments here in a little bit. But let's keep going with John, KC1KLZ, and the TIPSnet. How you doing, John? What's going on in your ham radio world? Anything?
This is KC1KLZ. Not a heck of a lot. I haven't had much time for anything. Summer seems a long way off. Winter's hanging on. And that's about it. Back to you, Nat.
Well, I think in a matter of weeks here, maybe a month, we'll be complaining about how hot it is. At least I will, because I like complaining about how hot it is. Thanks, John. And now, we'll sharpen our pencils and see. Tim had a couple of comments, KC1TWR, and what you got for us? This is KA6PDG and the TIPSnet. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, good evening, Kevin, and everyone else. First of all, my travel plans have changed slightly. Well, we're going to be down there less time than we had anticipated, so I will be around next Wednesday, but not the following Wednesday. So I just wanted to put that on the table. And I was going to say that, talking about the weather and the satellite dishes and so forth, I remember something that happened to my uncle was that the winds were so strong at one point that it actually, maybe he didn't secure it well enough, but it moved the satellite dish a bit so that it wasn't just a case of, you know, cleaning snow off of it or rain or what have you. He had actually go out and realign it in order to make it work. I don't think we have quite those kind of issues with antennas and so forth, but it, you know, just got me thinking about, you know, for instance, Bob, I know when he put up his original long wire antenna, he had it not tied securely at both ends, but at one of the ends he had it over a pulley with a weight on it so that, you know, if the wind or anything else moved it, it would have some flexibility. And I thought that was a very good idea, as long as his wife didn't use it for a clothesline and hung clothes off of it. And I think I'm going to leave it at that at this point and go back to net control. This is KC1TWR.
All right, very good. And you will be around next week, so I don't know if that affects. I think Josh had volunteered to run the net, but you can work that out with him. We all don't care who runs the net. We're not proud. Heck, they'll even let me run it. So, good. And by the way, I don't want to forget to say, this is important. Next week is the one-year anniversary of this net. Next Wednesday is actually the 22nd. The first TIPSNET took place on May 23rd of 2018. So I hope everybody next week will check in. Bring cake, soda, hot dogs, hamburgers, whatever. And we can all have a little party on the air next week. Maybe. Whatever. Okay. I'm at the bottom of the list. And why don't we pause here? There may be some stations that have been waiting patiently to check in. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club's TIPSNET, a great place to get tips about amateur radio. And we're looking for more check-ins. This is KA6PDG standing by. I hear nothing. So, yeah, very good comments about the weather stuff. Another thing that most of us who use VHF and UHF, particularly VHF, think about is tropospheric ducting, which we have a lot of in the summertime, but it happens in the winter too. And I happen to think it's kind of cool and fun, although it can make running nets very difficult. if you have, particularly if you have two nets going on the same frequency, 100 miles apart, that happens sometimes. That just requires a little patience and understanding, and so on and so forth. It also can be fun to work the ducting propagation on the simplex. And so that comes to mind when we talk about weather and ham radio. Also was thinking, and I think Bill was talking about his vertical antenna. I've owned a couple of verticals over the years, and I know with one, a butternut that I had that was ground mounted. I seem to recall, after being up long enough and exposed to enough wind storms, it seemed like there'd be a little bit of shorting or a little bit of clicking and ticking and dropping out as the antenna would blow back and forth. One of the hazards, I suppose, of vertical antennas. So that's a few other things I think about when we talk about weather and ham radio. And, boy, I don't know. I guess that's about it. So, probably what we can do, since we have a little time here, and I don't think we have any hot and heavy topics yet, is go through the list again. Why not? You know, when in doubt, go through the list again. That's the mantra of any good net control, and even some crummy ones. So maybe something you've heard, some comments you've heard have inspired a remark or a thought or a question. Let's see what happens here. Up to the top of the list, and November Kilo 1 Victor, Stephen Coventry, KA6PDG on the TIPSNET. We'll call this round two, Steve.
NK1V here, and I kind of stalled Kevin at anniversary cake. I was trying to wonder how I would get that if it was coming UPS or FedEx or... We'll see. Yeah, I don't have that much more, though. I do, actually, one of the things, I won't leave my HF rig on or anything like that when I go off, but sometimes I'll leave the, 2 meters on just the, the calling channels and stuff, just to listen around, when the weather does weird stuff, especially when there's fronts coming through and stuff, just to hear. And I have heard, I've had really good contacts or anything like that, but it's always something interesting. I don't have any, other than just the FM vertical setup, I have no sideband or for 2 meters or 6 meters or anything like that yet set up. I could in a pinch, but I've got nothing nice yet. So, but yeah, there is, I have heard things in my vehicle and stuff, and especially when there's fronts coming through, nasty ones, there's weird things will happen. But I've never had a really good contact or anything where I could say I've proven anything. But I will listen on. That's all I got. And K1B, back to that.
Yeah, you're very correct. And it makes me think of one thing about this repeater that I remember, and I think I've observed it in recent years too, but back when I lived over in Colchester, I used to use this repeater here, 706, much more than I do currently. I was probably on the air more than I am currently. But one thing I've noticed with this repeater is if you get a big storm coming through, maybe some thunderstorms or a line of storms or whatever, if you have a lot of heavy rain to the southwest of this repeater, so let's say that it's really coming down and they're getting hammered down in Westbrook and Old Saybrook and Madison and maybe up toward Chester. It seems like when you get a lot of heavy precipitation southwest of this repeater, the user signals get interfered with, usually only for a few minutes, but it's very noticeable. It's one of those things, I guess. All right, over to Dave, K1DCT, KA6PDG, and tips.
Oh, very good, Kevin. Good evening again, K1DCT, and to all the fellow net check-ins. I cannot say I have noticed what you just mentioned about the coverage during a heavy rainstorm on this repeater. I will have to pay attention to that next time. But just to build on a few things, what Bob was talking about, you know, radar stuff, that's going to give you a reflection back during a heavy rainstorm, obviously. It's going to change colors like it, you know, like it does on the Weather Channel. And and I have also had the rain wipe out my dish satellite TV reception and snow build up in there. In fact, the last snowstorm we had of the year was that heavy wet snow, and I had to get a long pole and something soft on the end and wipe my dish out so I could get TV back, because, you know, that's most important. And what else? Oh, during heavy snowstorms, particularly on HF, you know, maybe 75, 40 meters, you do get a lot of noise. And, so there's probably a little static charge going on there, and I don't have all the science laid out in front of me, but I do notice the noise levels come up and signals do go down. So there's a little something to look for. Look forward to the cake next week. Not sure how it's going to taste once it's been squished through a microphone, but I guess we'll find that out. Back to net, K1DCT.
All right, Dave, thank you. And we're looking to you to bring the beer. You're always... when you close the net, you talk about the tap being shut down and the floor getting swept up and the lights being turned up, so you're bringing the beer next week. That could be a very interesting net, because he probably won't share it. He'll just bring it and, you know the rest of the story. Thanks, Dave. Bob, hey, guess what? Your turn again. K1RMN on the tips net. Go ahead, sir.
K6PDG, this is K1RMN. Not much to add at this point. We've talked about the weather thing and listening to the repeaters when the wind is blowing in a certain direction. I find that very interesting. I have to do a little thinking about what could cause that. Not too sure, but again, putting the final preps on what I'm taking with me to Hamvention and making sure I have enough money for the things that I bring back from Dayton. So we'll see what those kind of my finds are going to be, but I'm sure there's going to be plenty of things to look at while I'm out there. This is K1RMN, back to net.
All right, yeah, it occurs to me, if Bill thinks the car is sitting low now, wait till the return trip. Hope you get lots of goodies, hope you find some good prices. And my comments regarding this repeater had to do with precipitation, not wind, had to do with rain, mainly, I think. I don't know if I've noticed it with snow, but it's just kind of one of those funny things. All right. Speaking of funny things, no. He's a funny guy. He's not a funny thing. K0JEB, have we inspired any thoughts or questions on your end? K6PDG in the tips net.
K6PDG, K0JEB. First off, I want to say, as far as I know, with the history of radio, mixing alcohol and radio electronics has never ended with anything good coming out of it, so I think that's a bad idea. As far as having any questions or comments, no input for the weather-related repeater thing. I'll try and take notice of that. I did have a quick question I thought of asking the group. I'll start by giving some background with my setup. I have a MFJ-939 Intella tuner, and it came with a banana plug adapter for attaching a random wire into the back of it for the center weed conductor to connect the wire up and run out in the yard or what have you. And right now I'm using coax off the back of the tuner, sending it outside, and then at the end of the coax I have a single wire coming off and running up through the trees, 133 feet long. Let me reset real quick. My question is, my thoughts are that I've been told that using a random wire, you want to have a counterpoise, and it's my understanding that as long as I have a good ground system on the radio and the tuner, that technically the counterpoise isn't required. I can understand if there's maybe some, not as good of a performance having a counterpoise wire run out there. But if anybody has any info on that type of setup, I'm all ears, because I'm still, messing around with my setup over here, and any kind of input anyone has is more than welcome. So KA6PDG, that's K0JB.
Thank you, Josh. Very astute question. Also acknowledge your remark about the beer. You're right. So we'll just have Dave send all the beer to the net control station. Well, there you go. Bill might have some thoughts on that. Bill's pretty handy with antennas, the whole idea of a counterpoise when using a long wire versus just a really good ground for the radio and the tuner and so forth. Let's see. So that's, we now actually have a real specific question on the floor. K1EV, K6PDG, and tips. Any thoughts, Bill, and any more you want to say about Dayton?
Yeah, K6PDG, K1EV. Short answer on NFET wire is that, everything I've read suggests that a counterpoise is necessary. One, keeping common mode currents on minimum is, I think, primarily the best rationale I believe I've heard. And it doesn't have to be long, something on the order of a tenth of a wavelength ish or less. So always a good idea. As far as Dayton, let's see. Like I said, this will be my fourth trip. The first one was 3 years ago, and it was the last held at then Hera Arena, which was the original place for it. But the owners had put no money into the facility, and it had constantly gone downhill from what I'm told. And then they decided that they were going to either, I think, sell, or they just didn't want to have the Hamvention any longer. I think they were going to repurpose that property into something else. And so it moved to the Greene County Fairgrounds. And the first year, the cellar area is on the infield of about a mile a horse race track, and extremely muddy. It was unbelievably muddy the first year that we went out there. Let me drop it. And the next year they had improved considerably the roadways on which they had us parking off of, and nobody got stuck last year as they did the first year. And so I expect an improvement again this year. I'm not sure quite what it'll be, but we'll see. And there's always plenty of equipment, some of it even ham radio. You'll see a lot of FM, a lot of computer stuff, but lots and lots of radio gear. So it's a lot of fun walking around looking at new stuff, old stuff. And I'm in the process, the last 3 years, I've loaded the station wagon up and come back empty. And I'm a seller at the moment, trying to clear a good part of the 50-year collection of stuff. Doing pretty well so far, so this will be the fourth year of trying to empty out the shack and just keep the last few bits. And the crowd is varied between 25 and 30,000 people, so pretty good turnout, and we always expect rain. That's about it. Back to you, Kevin, K1EV.
Wow, that's a lot of RF floating around in one city. And yes, I have heard that, now that you mention it. They always expect rain at Dayton. Oh, good. Yeah, I wonder how many hams from Connecticut are making the trek out there. It's obviously a very popular thing. All right, Bill. Very well, and thanks for the comments on Josh's question. Let's go over to John next. And we're really glad when you're able to take time and check into the net. John, anything else you want to say tonight? KC1KLZ, K6PDG in the TIPS net.
This is KC1KLZ. No, I don't have a heck of a lot to say. Looking forward to a good night's sleep. But that's about it. Back to you, Nat.
Yeah, me too. I got a good nap in before the net. If you heard me babbling as I opened the net, well, I always babble, but anyway, thanks, John. Really appreciate it. And Tim, we're back to you, my friend, KC1TWR. Any additional thoughts about counterpoise and long wires, or Dayton Hamvention, or anything else related to ham radio? Go ahead, Tim.
Thank you, Kevin. And as far as Dayton goes, I would like to get out there some year. Don't know when it'll be. Definitely not this year, though. As far as the celebration next week, I hope to have some data crunched by then as far as average turnout and how we were doing and so forth on the TIPSnet. And I was thinking about the comment about beer, and it reminds me of many, many years ago when I was dating a girl who worked at the drive-in, and the commercials they had for near beer. So if we want beer, I suppose we could have some near beer. I believe that was their non-alcoholic or almost non-alcoholic type of stuff. Getting back to weather and antennas, and it dawned on me, lots of people have mast, and then at the top of the mast they put a 2-meter antenna or some other vertical antenna. And I was thinking about in a heavy windstorm, you may not want it to be vertical. You may want to take it down or what have you. And what they do with flag poles is 2 or 3 or 4 feet from the bottom, they'll put a hinge point so that they can, it'll have two pins. One at the very bottom, there's a U-bracket, if you can imagine, on the ground. And at the very bottom is a bolt that goes through, and about 3 or 4 feet up is another bolt that goes through. They take out the bottom bolt, and they pivot the flagpole down and rest it on either the ground or on a sawhorse or what have you. And I wonder if anybody's ever done that with a vertical amateur radio antenna, both to work on it as well as to protect it during a heavy windstorm. Let me use that for a quick second. The other comment that I actually had from the beginning, but I didn't want to detract from the weather, was I came across a somebody sent a question to the Raison website about one of the projects, and it came from China, of all places. So I looked him up on RQRZ, and he referenced a QRZ.CN for China. I didn't go there yet, but I found that interesting that we have a QRZ.com, and there's also a QRZ.China. So I found that kind of interesting. Maybe wonder if there are similar things in, for instance, South America and Africa and so forth. But he was listed in our QRZ.com as being in China, so I found that of interest. And with that, I'll go ahead, and I wish, Bob and Bill a successful trip out there, and hope you have a great time, and hope you bring your rain slickers just in case. And with that, back to net control. This is KC1TWR.
Yes, indeed, we do wish both of them a safe journey. And let's see, I'm trying to think. They're driving out tomorrow. I know we're supposed to get some showers maybe on Friday, but the weekend's supposed to be nice. Maybe they'll get lucky this year. We'll have to see. I'm sure we'll get a full report next week as they're eating their cake and not drinking their beer. Probably drink their beer in Dayton. Thank you very much, Tim. Bottom of the list, I'm going to ask if anybody else has any more responses to Josh's question. And then after that, we'll see if anybody else is waiting to check in. And then I think we'll go into the second portion of the net. But I know that Bob and Steve and Dave didn't get a chance to respond to Josh's question about the long wire and the counterpoise, etc. Does anybody have any other info for Josh that they'd like to share? Your call signs, please.
K1RMN.
NK1V.
I got Bob and Steve. Dave's busy filling out his grant application. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, this is K1RMN to the net. My only comment on the antenna setup is, as long as you have a good lightning arrestor in line and it's properly grounded, that will help act as a counterpoise and take care of that external current. So as long as you have that, I think you're in good shape. If not, then running that short wire, the 10th wavelength is probably very recommended. That's all I've got. This is K1RMN. Back to net.
Thank you very much, Bob. And Steve, your comment.
NK1V.
Random wire, long wire. I use one camping when I go RVing, but I do it through a 9-to-1 I guess it would be. But I do use a counterpose. I tried to use it the one I hate to say, but it's one that I purchased, the actual transformer. And they said you don't need a counterpoise like they always do, but I use one, and it's in that range, like maybe 1/8 of a, you know, I'm looking to do 80 meters on it, so it's somewhere, I don't know, 17 feet or something. It's just enough to throw out, and I also do ground to the metal frame of my camper trailer, the same wire, just, and that's usually grounded to, you know, I try to get some kind of grounding going on when I go out there. But so far as at the base, I have a similar setup. I have a manual tuner that has that, that I want to do. I've heard people talking about long wires. I want to shoot, you know, like 200 feet of wire up over the whole ridge here and see if I got a 160 and stuff. And I'm kind of counting on, I have a loop that I made with several stakes and stuff for a ground. And everything is bonded. I'm big on bonding everything, like chain link fence, everything that I could. If I didn't have to drive my car, I'd bond that too. And so I'm going to do some experimenting, and I will give you some feedback if I get time this summer to do it. You'll probably be ahead of me and give me feedback, but if I actually need any other kind of counterpoise, because I hear a lot of old-timers saying that they just stick a wire in the back of that thing and they throw it out there. So we will see. Back to that, NK1B.
All right, thanks very much there, Steve. We're about 8 minutes till the top of the hour. Let me check with Josh. Was that helpful, Josh? Any further questions?
SK0JB, very helpful, and thanks for all the input, guys. Appreciate it. SK0JB, back to net.
That's what we're all about. Glad we could help there, buddy. All right, any further check-ins for the tips net this evening? We're about to go into the announcement portion of the net. Any other stations who'd like to check in this evening, your call signs, please. This is KA6PDG.
A very good evening. This is Whiskey One Juliet Oscar Papa, John, City of Groton.
All right, John, thank you. W1JOP, great to hear you on the net. All righty, let's go into the announcement portion here. We do try to wrap the net up in an hour if we can. We go a minute or two over, it's not a big deal, but we try to adhere to that protocol. So this, again, is the tips net. And do we have any stations this evening with announcements or bulletins about upcoming events or other items of general interest to the amateur community? If you have an announcement, may I have your call sign, please?
KC1TWR.
I figured I could count on you, Tim. KC1TWR, go right ahead.
Okay, let me take a deep breath. It's going to be a long one. Thursday night, tomorrow night, is the race-on meeting at 7:30 at the Norwich Firehouse. This Sunday is the Mystic Half Marathon 10K. We're still looking for two checkpoint people, if you're at all interested in that. One's right at the finish line, by the way. Check-in time, if you're going to help, will be 6 o'clock in the morning, and the race usually concludes about 10 o'clock, either 9 or 10 o'clock, so it's pretty over and done pretty early. Let's see, now after that, we've got the Museum Ships Weekend event coming up June 1st and 2nd. We also have on June 1st the Angel Ride event, and on the Friday before that, we have the Twilight Run. It's that time of the year, folks. Lots and lots of activities. And I'm not even going to get into July 4th, but that's not too far away. And just to say that I was the first one to remind everybody, the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club auction will be the last Saturday in October. Put that on the table as well. With that, I'll go back to net control. This is KC1TWR.
Very good, Tim. And who's the contact person for this Sunday's event if folks want to sign up to help? Is it you?
That is affirmative. Bill W1GTT, as we know, moved south to South Carolina and turned over various events to various people. And this event, as well as the Niantic Bay Triathlon, he turned over to me. So if anybody would like to assist, please contact me directly. KC1TWR.
All right, very good. Any other stations with announcements this evening? All right, and of course, Field Day coming up the weekend of the 23rd of June, I believe it is, and Tri-City's doing their Field Day big shindig now at the Ledyard County Fairgrounds. You'll be hearing more about that on the various nets, including this one. All right, we'll close up that portion of the net. We're done with the announcements at this point. And we go into the final section, which is the swap section of the tips net. Stations with items to buy, sell, trade, swap, give away, or want, as long as they're amateur radio in nature, are welcome to list them on the net. You can list a price, but no negotiating or haggling on the air. Save that for the football field, or the Twisted Bear, or the email, or the tweet. Any stations with swap items this evening? This is KA6PDG, your call sign, please. Tends to be the quietest part of the net, but I think folks are still getting used to a local swap section net, and there are other swap nets around too, but I think it's good that we include that in this net, and once in a while we do get listings. So as we draw close to the top of the hour, this has been a fun net, as always. Any other stations with comments, anything that control is overlooked, any real quick questions we can answer, any swap items or announcements that might have been forgotten, speak now with your call sign or hold it till next week.
K1RMN.
And K1RMN, do it to it, Bob.
K1RMN here. Don't forget, breakfast Saturday morning at the Youngestville Diner, 8 o'clock. That's all I've got. Back to net.
Oh, you got that right. I'll bet you there's a few breakfasts to go to out in Dayton, too. And, of course, breakfast tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. at Old Times Restaurant for those who like getting up early on Thursday mornings. All right. Well, I think I've done my job here as best I'm able. Looks like we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 stations on the net tonight. That's pretty good. I feel good about that. So thanks, everybody, for being here. The TipsNet, the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet, meets Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock right here on the W1DX repeater, 147060, up 600, CTCSS, tone of 156.7. And we do thank John, W1AN, for the use of his repeater system and those who maintain the repeaters so that they're here for our use. Let's see if I can do this right. I'm going to do it from memory and probably going to botch it up. But if you want more information about the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club, one way to do that is to go online to tricityarc.org. Did I get that right, Tim?
.com.
Okay, I was close. TriCityARC.com. Thanks, everybody, for putting up with me this evening. Again, it's been a fun net, and we really appreciate you taking time to be on the net. Tell other folks about the net. The more, the merrier. And next week will be our 1-year anniversary. And tune in next week and see who the net control is. That'll be exciting. So, we'll return these repeaters to normal amateur use, 73 to all. This is KA6PDG, now clear at, we'll call it 8 p.m., close enough, according to my desktop clock. Good evening all, KA6PDG, out.